I'd like to turn now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. And if any of you'd like, look it up and follow along. You're welcome to do that. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Remember when I first heard this story from the Bible, but even the title describing the event sort of rattles my mind. The word transfiguration seems so complex, so beyond explanation. Transfiguration. The story tries to put a description to an experience which really is beyond words. It's a thin place. When Jesus invited these three disciples to go with him up that mountain, there was an invitation to gather round, to see and experience and wonder, and then to savor that experience until the time was right for telling. It was a window into the very meaning of Jesus' life. Peter, James, and John had been through so many happenings with Jesus in the day-to-day life. They had experienced many interactions, but here in this picture, they were given the actual meaning, I think, of his life. They see him standing with Moses here, the lawgiver, and then Elijah, the prophet. And Jesus lived the law, and he also was the prophet. John Spong writes that all these elements were woven into this powerful story to let the reader know just who Jesus is. The light of God had actually come to rest on Jesus, and the life of Jesus was nothing less than this new dwelling place of God. So Jesus, like Moses, went up the mountain with these three named associates. He, like Moses, entered this cloud of God, and the light of God then came and rested on him, and he was transformed. As his clothes were blazing, God's message to the disciples is so brief but profound. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And the words that had been spoken at Jesus' baptism were echoing again. And in the blink of an eye, there was this thin place where Jesus' face seemed to beam or shine like they had never seen it. It was one of those experiences which just can't be described, where one minute the world is business as usual, and in the very next, you catch a glimpse of this marvelous taste of a whole new dimension. And Peter exclaims, "Ah, it's so good for us to be here. Let's stay here. Let's build some tents, some booths. Let's soak this in." And a cloud hovered. It was that traditional sign of God, just as Moses had experienced it in his encounter with the living God. God hovering in the cloud, bringing a word. They must have been hunkering down by now, caught between breaths of amazement and pure fear. Oh, they wanted to stay like we all want to stay in those times and places. The times when we catch a glimpse of God, the holy, of something that seems quite amazing, but we don't quite have adequate words for it. You might have experienced it when all time seemed to stand still, when the presence of God and the blessings of the holy catch your breath, seem overwhelming. A few years ago, I had the privilege of traveling across the Atlantic Ocean with a cohort group of pastor friends, where I was introduced to Iona, small rocky island in the Scottish Hebrides. 3.5 miles long and 1.5 miles broad. It's not imposing. Yet for centuries, since Columba is said to have arrived on that island in 563, Iona has been described as this thin place, where only tissue paper seems to separate the material from the spiritual. Many people have tried to express the experience and come back to the island again and again. And as I stood on that shoreline, I too seemed to lose track of time and space. I felt on holy ground in that thin place. All time and space fades away. I think the thin places of our lives are many, but they don't always happen in faraway places. Very recently, as I stood by my mother's bedside, as she moved from this world to the next, there was this sense of thin place, where God was so powerfully present and there were no words. For some of you, I can imagine it might have been at church camp. I've heard many express that. The words something like this, "Camp is an amazing place. It's where everyone feels like they belong. I wish the world was like this. It's a thin place where God seems more real." This last week, I was taken to a thin place as I read a blog by my brethren young adult cousin named Jeff Hoffert. Jeff is currently in California for 6 months. See, after college graduation, Jeff was hired part-time by a very well-known Midwest magazine as a writer, traveler, adventurer, and was immediately thrust into the corporate world. It was a wonderful gig, but there was something he said that kept nagging at his soul. And he wrote, "Those nudges have come to me through various people and experiences. The first one landed in my life at a Church of the Brethren Young Adult Conference in the summer of 2016. One of the guest speakers was Richard Zapata, who Jess described as a charismatic, laid-back, and cool-to-the-core Ecuadorian. He ministers at the Principe de Paz Iglesia de los Hermanos, which is the Prince of Peace Church of the Brethren. It's in Santa Ana, California. And Jess said that he was quickly captivated by Zapata's love of the church and the family, his devotion to the members of his congregation, and perhaps most of all, his boundless energy to make the world a better place in his corner of Southern California. Well, during his presentation at the conference, Zapata invited the attendees to visit Santa Ana and minister to the Spanish-speaking congregation and the surrounding community. Jess was not sure if Richard was serious about that someone would actually take him up on that offer, but he never forgot about it. And after months of discernment, Jess realized that this could be a once-in-a-lifetime shot for him to experience a Hispanic culture, to brush up on his Spanish language, and hopefully learn a thing or two about cultural bridge building in a new corner of the world. And so, on January 5th of this year, on his 29th birthday, Jess took his two cats and traveled across the country from Des Moines, Iowa, to meet with Richard, his wife, and co-pastor Becky and this congregation. So last Sunday, he wrote about this worship service that he experienced. The church's praise band was playing one of Jess's new favorite songs entitled Los Muros Caen. It's one of this driving rock beat with lyrics that are catchy as they are powerful. But he wrote, "I didn't realize how powerful they were or how they applied to me. But it started with one member of the church who began to freely jump around and spin around during this song, forcing the girls who he said who do tambourine praise dancing to move out of the way. Another woman joined in the dancing, and then another," and he wrote, "before I knew it, I was witnessing my first mini mosh pit of worshiping women." But he said it wasn't just women. An elderly man in front of him slowly raised his hands during the song, and then his hands began to tremble, and the ushers swiftly grabbed Kleenex boxes and began passing them around to crying worshipers. And up to this point of his time at Principe de Paz, he said, "I'd seen some pretty visceral reactions to praise singing, but he hadn't seen anything like this." He said he felt awkward standing there and staring at this unfolding scene as he sang along to the words. But then he said, "I think I could make better use of my time if he would use Google to translate the words that were being sung, and perhaps solving the mystery of why it was causing such an passionate response." And he wrote, "as soon as I hit that translate button," he said, "my heart became so full that the only way my emotions could get out was through my tear ducts." These are the translated words. "When I sing, the earth shakes. When I love you, the chains break. The walls will fall. When I sing, the earth shakes. When I love you, the chains break. The walls will fall." In any other circumstance, Jess said, those words wouldn't have made me cry. But to be surrounded by more than 100 Hispanic worshipers, many who have encountered countless barriers to get to where they are today, and many more who continue to face obstacles in their path to citizenship, others who are young dreamers praying that they won't be split from the only family they know. He said it hit him like a freight train. It was a thin place. You know, some people talk about their thin place experiences when they describe a hike in the Shenandoah Mountains, or while relaxing on your deck, watching an amazing sunset. The thin places happen sometimes in worship. And I can imagine they might happen for some of you, some of those athletes at the Olympics, as they stand ready to enter their event, or maybe even stand on the awards podium. It's a place where you're not quite sure what the real world and the spiritual world, and you want to stay in those moments. But that's not how it is. In the story, Peter, James, and John had to come down from the mountain with Jesus because there was much work to do. We have to move along from our own thin places. Much awaits us. You have to come home from camp. You have to go inside to fix dinner. The memorial service is over, and there are things to do, clothes and furniture and details that need new homes. Kids grow up and leave, and we are all led to come down from the mountain to carry on with the work that awaits us as disciples. Pastor Richard and Jess have had discussions about the fear that lies beneath the surface of that Prince of Peace congregation. It's an absolutely justified fear given the current conversations in our government. And Jess emphasized, it's a concern that I share now more deeply than ever because I'm part of that family now. And together we pray to God with the devotion of many of the members, with the passion of a dancing worshiper, that someday the walls will fall. As we prepare for this upcoming season of Lent, I believe we are encouraged to take an honest look at who we are as congregations, at what walls we are praying will fall, at how we are part of the disassembly. We're invited to be more honest with ourselves and with one another. We are called to walk down from the mountain, walk with the living Christ to face the everyday realities. And from the thin places, we are invited to engage more fully with the holy. On this Sunday, I'd like to invite you, encourage you to spend just a few moments silently reflecting on what you've heard today. In the scripture story, in the words, are there thin places in your life that it made you think about? Are there times when you've been encouraged to come down from the mountain that's been really hard for you? Did you hear something different today that you hadn't heard before? And following a few moments of silence, I will invite anyone that would like to, for just a few moments, to encourage you to use the mic to reflect on just a few of your thoughts and experiences in the ways that this has encouraged you to think. Perhaps no one will feel led. That's quite fine. But I do hope you'll open yourself to the possibility of a thin place, a place where God speaks to you, to your own spirit. Let us take a few moments of quiet. I hope you'll continue to share these with one another. The Lord is our shepherd. Let us hear, let us pray it, let us experience it. And may God send us that power as we go out of this place today, knowing that God's Spirit is in our midst, that those thin places are all around us. Go aware, awake, and filled with God's love. Amen.